Our reading today is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, verses 13 to 20. Matthew 16, verses 13 to 20. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly charged his disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. That's God's word. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we give you thanks that you reveal Jesus to us by the word, by his life and death and resurrection, and ultimately by the Holy Spirit, who reveals him to us so we can come to faith in him. Father, we thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ. We pray that we would come to know him more now, to praise him with and love him more. In his name we pray. Amen. It's the first Sunday of the month, so we're looking at the Apostles' Creed, and today we're going to look at the second article of the Creed, which says, "I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord." I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. And we shall be looking at each phrase in turn. We'll be looking at, "I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord." So point one, I believe in Jesus Christ. Point two, his only Son. Point three, our Lord. The doctrine or the teaching of the Lord Jesus is the most exciting, the most beautiful, the most wonderful part of Christianity. Indeed, the whole Bible is all about the glory of Christ, who he is and what he's done. The passage before us sums up in a very neat way who Jesus is, and indeed who, as the Creed describes him, the Christ, the Son of the living God. And this, the Apostles' Creed, and indeed all the other creeds that the Christian Church professes, spend most of their time talking about Jesus, who he is and what he's done. And rightly so. The Apostles' Creed that we're looking at, we've looked at God the Father, now we're looking at God the Son, and we will look at God the Spirit. But God the Son occupies the biggest chunk of the creed, who he is and what he's done. Because that's how the Bible emphasizes it. The greatest work of God, the Holy Trinity, is saving sinners from sin, death, and from hell. And he does that through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So here we go. Point one, I believe in Jesus Christ. What does it mean to believe in Jesus Christ? And just to recap, we looked at this when we looked at repentance and faith in 2020. Repentance and faith are joined together, and that's what we mean when we say we believe in Jesus Christ. Faith. Faith isn't just, I believe he existed. Faith, as we define it in the Reformed Church, has three characteristics. Knowledge, assent, and trust. Knowledge, assent, and trust. So knowledge, we know what Jesus says about himself in the Bible. We either read it, or we hear it preached, or we sing it. And having come to that knowledge, we assent to it. So we agree. We say, yes, I believe that. I agree and I assent to it. I sign up to that. But it's more than that. There's a third aspect to it, and it means trust. Having assented to it, we then entrust ourselves, our body and our souls, to the Lord Jesus Christ and his saving person and work. So when we say, I believe in Jesus Christ, that's what we're saying. We're saying, more than do you believe Jesus existed, do you believe, it's not just a theory, it's not just an intellectual assent, it's not just an emotional thing either. It involves the head, the heart and the hands, what we think, what we feel and what we do. We learn it, we love him and we live it. The Christian life. We learn it, we love it, we live it. Excuse me, got my sentences mixed up there. So what we see in the Lord Jesus Christ is the person we have faith in. We know what he says, we assent to what he says, and we trust what he says. So I believe in Jesus Christ. What's in a name? Juliet says in Romeo and Juliet. What does a name mean? What difference does it make? Well, in the Bible, names do matter. And the name Jesus means God saves. The name Jesus means God saves. It's the Greek version of the Hebrew word Joshua. Indeed, Jesus would have been called Joshua or Yeshua in his life. We call him Jesus because Greek was the international language. The Christian scriptures were all written in Greek. And that's how we get the name from Latin to English. So Jesus. Jesus means God saves. God is the only saviour. That's the teaching of the Bible all the way through. Only God can save. And God will save. But how does God do it? God saves by becoming a human being. He came down to earth from heaven, who is God and Lord of all. That's what we sang about 7 weeks ago at Christmas. Because God comes to save us. Jesus Christ, indeed this passage that we've said here, Jesus calls himself the Son of Man. That's from Daniel chapter 7, and it's a title for God. So Jesus is God in the flesh. Jesus is the Saviour, and only God saves. How does Jesus save us? Well, Jesus saves us by becoming one of us, by becoming truly human, which we'll look at next month. He becomes truly human, and he lives the perfect life. He was obedient unto death. He dies the death that we deserve to die, death on the cross. And so, the two debts that we all owe to God, perfect obedience and payment for sin, he pays. God demands perfect obedience from all of us. Jesus perfectly obeyed. Even after we've sinned, God still demands perfect obedience from us. And now that we have sinned, God demands payment for our sins. And Jesus pays for our sins. He bears all of our sins on the cross. All the wrath of God, the furious, righteous, holy anger of God for sin is placed on him. He who is pure, spotless, he's like a lamb without blemish or spot. He's slaughtered for our sins. He bears the wrath of God. Our debt is paid. And he stands perfectly pure. God raised him from the dead. He stands perfectly pure in the sight of God. And so by our union with him, which we receive by the Holy Spirit through faith, we stand saved, forgiven, and restored. And indeed, there's the three senses in which Jesus saves us. He saves us from the penalty of sin, from the power of sin, and from the presence of sin. The penalty of sin is just what we call justification. God forgives us and pardons us and accounts us righteous as Christ is righteous. The presence of sin, that's what we call sanctification. Christ, by the Holy Spirit, makes us holy, more like himself. And ultimately, at death or at the second coming, we will be glorified. Glorified in him. Again, go back and find the talks from 2020. All that is expounded on. But see how great a saviour Jesus is. See how, when you take the bread and the cup in a few minutes, think how wonderful, how holy, how pure, how loving, how kind, how gracious, how mighty to save is our Lord Jesus Christ. And so he must be God and man, divine and human, because only God can save. Human, because only man can live the commands God has given must be obeyed by a human. And the penalty must be paid by a human, but only God is big enough and strong enough to bear the wrath of God for sin. And that is why Jesus is our Saviour. And this is just the first point. Jesus, I believe in Jesus. I believe that he lived, he came, he lived, he died, he rose again, he ascended, and he's coming back for me. He is our rescuer. We are free from sin forevermore. Oh, how sweet the sound. Oh, how grace abounds. We will praise the Lord, our rescuer. I believe in Jesus Christ. What does Christ mean? Christ is not Jesus' surname. It's a title or an office, like Queen Elizabeth. It's not her name. Elizabeth is her name. God save her. Congratulations, Your Majesty, on 70 years of being our queen. But Elizabeth is her name. Queen is her title. That's how it works. And that's what it is with Jesus Christ. Again, it's the English translation of the Greek word, which in Hebrew means Messiah, the Anointed One. And this leads to a title that Christians have used for Jesus for 2,000 years. We call Jesus our prophet, priest, and king. Our prophet, priest, and king. Why do we call him that? Because prophets, priests, and kings were anointed by God in the Bible. They had a special ministry. The prophets were to teach the word of God. The priests were to offer sacrifices and teach the word of God, in the sense that now that the prophets have given us God's word, they were to expound and apply it. They were to offer sacrifices and pray for the people of Israel. And kings were to rule over Israel and to make sure that she was governed righteously, justly, and fairly. And to defend Israel from her enemies. The Lord Jesus Christ does this in his office as Messiah. He is the ultimate prophet, priest, and king. And all the others, the prophets, the priests, and the kings, those offices come to an end now. Because Christ is the ultimate prophet, priest, and king. It's what we've talked about in Ephesians. He says, the apostles and prophets are the foundation of the church. And I said, there are none of them today. This is why, because Jesus is the ultimate prophet. Jesus teaches us God's word. He has revealed everything that God has to say to us. He is the ultimate priest. He is offered a sacrifice that finishes the sacrifices. He is the one who prays for us in glory now at the right hand of God. So the temple, the priesthood, the sacrifices, all that was made redundant, and it went. The ultimate death of it was 70 AD when Rome destroyed it. And he is the king. He is the ultimate king. Where all the kings of Israel failed, where all the priests of Israel were looking forward to one, and where all the prophets gave words from God that were partial, he is the complete one. And he teaches us by the Holy Spirit through the word. He raises up pastors and preachers and doctors and godly men and women to teach the word of God. He makes us kings and priests, Revelation says. We are priests, the priesthood of all believers. We are to offer our lives as a sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. We're to offer sacrifices of praise. We're to have broken and contrite hearts, which are the sacrifices of God that he won't despise. And we're to be thankful, holy people. And we are kings. We will reign with him and we will sit on his throne as he sits on his Father's throne. So I believe in Jesus Christ. That's how he is the Lord of the church, which we'll talk more about in a few minutes, and he governs it by the Spirit through the Word. And he does all that to the glory of God the Father. Can I just state everything I have said? That Jesus is our Savior, who is God and man, who died and rose again for us. That Christ is our prophet, priest and king. All of these could be a series of sermons in and of themselves. I'm whetting your appetite. Like last month, I found this, that we could go on for a year just on the name Jesus Christ. Indeed, we'll be going on for eternity just thinking about the name Jesus Christ. Get into Jesus Christ, who he is and what he's done. I believe in Jesus Christ. Point two, his only son. His only son. Jesus Christ is God's son in two ways. We've said that Jesus has a divine nature, he is God, and he has a human nature, he is human. Jesus Christ is eternally the Son of God. Again, to quote another Christmas carol, O come all ye faithful, God of God, light of light. Lo, he abhors not the virgin's womb. Very God, begotten, not created. O come, let us adore him. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit existed as the Trinity forever and ever and ever. So there was a Father-Son relationship forever. All three members of the Trinity are equally God, but they have names. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and an order. Not a hierarchy, an order. So in that, begotten is an old English word, it just means fathered by. God the Son was eternally begotten of the Father. Forever and ever and ever. So he was, in his divine nature, he was the Son of God. He was, is, and always will be the Son of God. But he's also the Son of God in his human nature. Now, of course, all humanity is a children of God in one sense. But Jesus is, the truest sense, the Son of God. In the beginning, it says in the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, it says, man was made in the image of God. And then man fell. As we said last month, God is the creator of heaven and earth, and he created man and woman to be in communion and fellowship and covenant with himself, and humanity rebelled. That's what the story of Adam and Eve tells us. So we've marred the image of God. But Jesus, in his human nature, as we've said, obeyed the commands of God perfectly. So he is the one who can truly, in his human nature, truly say, I am a son of God, because I have obeyed my Father perfectly. His nature is not tainted by sin. His nature has been kept pure. His nature is holy, spotless, and undefiled. And so he, in both his divine and his human nature, is the Son of God. One person, forever. The Son of the living God is our Lord Jesus Christ. Think about that. And we share in that sonship. Christians share in that sonship. There's no sibling rivalry with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus loves us that much that he went to the cross so we could share in that sonship. So you and me are adopted. And J.I. Packer calls that the greatest blessing of the gospel, that we are called children of God. His book, Knowing God, his biggest chapter is on adoption. It's 30 pages long, and it's worth the price of the book to read that chapter. Adoption. That we are made children of the living God. We're not just forgiven, we're not just justified, we're not just made holy, we become children of God. And the Holy Spirit gives birth to us, raises us to new life with Christ, and makes us live the Christian life. And so we become sons of God by faith, by being born again. And so we come to resemble our elder brother as we go on and walk in holiness and righteousness. So we are children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. And what a sonship we have. The sonship of God, the Son in human form. Point three, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. Our Lord. Jesus Christ is the firstborn of all creation and the firstborn from the dead. And so in everything, he has preeminence. That's what Paul writes in Colossians chapter 1. He is the creator and the redeemer of the human race, of the elect. He is, and always will be, the Son of God. And now he has human nature, which is united at the right hand of the Father. And all things will be united under him one day. And all praise and all glory and all honor will go to him forever and ever and ever. He is Lord because he is God, and because in his human nature he's now glorified. And all things will be given to him. He ends the Gospel of Matthew. All authority has been given to me by my Father. And in John chapter 5 he says the same thing. Why? So that all may honour the Son even as they honour the Father. John 5 verses 22 and 23, I think. It came to me just now and I haven't got it in front of me. I'm sorry about that. Do check it. But it is there. It's in John chapter 5. But at the end of Matthew's Gospel, we all know it, the Great Commission, he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Jesus Christ is coming back to judge the nations and to bring everything under submission to himself and to present the kingdom to his heavenly Father. He is our Lord. He's over everything. And so, in a very small and feeble way, we've seen how glorious our Lord Jesus Christ is today. So, the applications we're going to look at now, what difference does this make to me? If this is true, this makes the world of difference to you. It shows you're a sinner and you need a rescuer. You need someone to forgive you all your sins and to pardon you. And there's a God who stands ready to receive you just as you are, with all your sins, all your failures, all your fears, all your questions, all your doubts. And he stands ready to receive you now. Will you come to Jesus Christ this very day? And will you receive him as your Saviour? Will you become a child of God? This isn't an invitation to join the army. It is, but not only that. It's an invitation to join a family, to become a child of the Most High and Holy God. And if we are Christians, we share in Christ's anointed office. We're anointed with him. We too are prophets, priests and kings, as I said. We speak the word. The word of God now is contained in the Bible. We speak it. We speak it to our families. We speak it in church. We speak it to our neighbours. We are the prophets who speak the word of God. We are the priests who offer sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving, who live holy lives and have thankful, humble hearts. And we are the kings who will reign, who have authority, who will reign with him forever. But if it is true that Jesus is our Lord and our Saviour, do we live holy lives? Do we want to know him better? Do we want to love him more? Do we want to be more like him? If you're answering yes to those questions, where's your evidence? What are you doing about it? What are you doing about it? Because if Jesus Christ is your Lord and Saviour, it will make a difference to how you think, how you feel, how you live, what you watch on telly, how you do your job, how you are with your wife, your husband, your kids, your family, your church. How has it made a difference in your life that you're a Christian? Do you hate sin and mourn for it? Look at what it did to Christ. Look what it did to Christ as you hold the bread and the wine. Christ shed his blood. And do you rejoice? Do you rejoice in the forgiveness of your sins? And do you want to set your hope on things above? And to love the holiness that he gives? To want to be like him? To want to be like him? And to see his face in glory, which will be heaven itself. Lord, haste the day when our faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back like a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. To see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ forever, that's heaven. And whatever we're going through now, the hell that many of you are going through now, it'll all be forgotten. Because you'll see him. And all will be well. Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. Amen.